Good morning. Happy New Year. That's right. Happy New Year. It is a new year. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a good one, isn't it? I'm excited. All right. So, are you all excited about the new year? And have you been doing your exercising? You know, I'm going to talk about that some more because of how important it is. Because I'll tell you what, if you're going to really fulfill the plan and purpose of God, and you're really going to get your dreams and your dreams and your visions are going to come to reality and truth to manifest in your life, if that's going to really take place, you're going to have to, we've got to take care of our bodies. Because what, remember, we're made up of what? Body, soul, and spirit. Three parts. We're three-part beings. So, I got a word for us. We got to engage in some salubrious, everybody say salubrious. Salubrious activity. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some salubrious activity. Salubrious, you know what it means? It means to promote health and wholeness. That's what it means. In other words, exercise promotes health. You know, a lot of things that we give into as we age and grow older that we should never give into. That's a lack of salubrious activity. That's why it takes place. That's why atrophy. You know what happens? We can become, I got another word for you. This is what I do with my time off. We can become spavined. Spavined is the word they use for horses that no longer are useful. The word spavined means old and decrepit and swollen. They also use it for people. You can become spavined. I don't want to go there. How about you? If I can do me a little salubrious activity, prevent a little bit of that, right? Doesn't that make sense? You know, I just like to bring those words in to try to give you some light on the subject. Because, folks, it's really important. You know what? I was doing my juicing Friday. I was making my juice. And I thought, well, this is salubrious activity. And I'm making my, and as I drink it, I feel so good. Because, you know, it's good for you. I tell you. Everybody say salubrious. All right. I got 35 miles in this week because I didn't run last week at all because I had the flu and I wasn't able to run. So I got 35 miles. I ran 10 yesterday. And you know what? You know what? I went out on Monday and I ran 5 miles by myself. And I did it in less than 40 minutes. I thought, 52 years old, come on. You know, and I just went out and, you know, just did it. But you know what I thought to myself, I could not have done that had I not had a prior commitment to doing it. You understand? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about commitment. See, when you're committed to something, it enables you to do things that you wouldn't be able to do normally. And so that's why we're going to talk about commitment today. Commitment is one of the keys of the kingdom. Remember we talked about the keys of the kingdom? We've been talking about that. And Jesus said what? He goes, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What's bind mean? It means to lock. Whatever you loose means to open. So with these keys, we can lock and open things in our lives when we understand these keys. And I got a story about keys I want to tell you before we get started. A couple weeks ago, it was the last Wednesday before Christmas. last Wednesday night word search Bible study in the evening. And so we were going to have a little, we're going to have the Bible study and then have a little thing to eat afterwards and all. And I was studying for it that day, and Barbara Lee and Frank Lee were here, and they were doing the cleaning that day, and they had gotten all the trash, and they stored it out front, and then that was going to be their last trip. When they leave, they would take the trash to the dumpster, and then they would go. Well, I thought, well, I'll go ahead and get that for them, because I was on my way out to go get some dinner. So I picked up, I locked my office, and I had my keys around my finger, and I picked up all this trash, I mean a bunch of bags of trash. And so I took all these bags, and I threw them into the dumpster, and then I got in my car, and I went to, wherever I was going, and got back. When I got back, I went to my office, and it was locked, and I thought, where's my keys? So I went out in my car, and I looked in my car, and my keys weren't in there. See, we think, well, how'd you start your car? I don't need a key to start my car. I got one of them. All you do is say, it comes. No, is you just don't need a key for my car because of the way it's set up. The idea is I started looking for my keys, and I couldn't find them. And I got to thinking, did I throw them in the dumpster? Because I remember I had them around my finger. And I thought, I need to go look in the dumpster. So I looked around how light out it was, and I thought, oh, kind of snuck over to the dumpster, you know, looked around to see if anybody was out. I didn't want them to see me going through the dumpster. And so I'm pulling all the trash out, and then I got in there and started looking around, and I couldn't find them keys. There was ice on the bottom, and I couldn't find my keys. I'm thinking, now I got to go have all these keys made. I can't get in my office. All my notes and everything were in there. But, you know, I'd have been all right. But the thing is, I wanted my keys. And I had keys to other things at home. And so, Lloyd and Paula come. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to say anything, but I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to tell. I said, you know, do you have a flashlight, Lloyd? Because it was dark. And Lloyd says, I don't think so. Well, we looked around here for a light, and we couldn't find a light. And so he pulls his car out by the dumpster, and the lights are shining, and they won't get in the dumpster. The light doesn't go in the dumpster. It's dark still. So we get this idea of cell phones. You know, you open your cell phone, you got a little light. So there I am. I got my cell phone, and he's got his cell phone holding it up, and it's dark. And so he helps me get into the dumpster. And so I'm in the dumpster again, and I'm rummaging through all this trash. And then I've got my light, and I'm looking around the bottom of this dumpster for my keys. And I couldn't find them. And so I said, Lord, I said, they're not in here, man. I said, I don't see them. And he's not saying anything. And so all the trash is out of the dumpster. I mean, lots of bags. And so I start putting it back in, and I'm looking at Lloyd, and Lloyd's opening the bag and starting to go through trash. And in my mind, I said, man, he is never, what's he doing going through the bag? I'm thinking, why is he doing that? You know, like, that doesn't make too much sense to me, you know? And Lloyd's going through this bag, and he says, here they are! So, dang. I said, all right, inside of them. I got so excited because I had my keys, you know what I mean? And he said, it's all the Lord. It's the Lord, you know. I know. I said, man, thanks for, it's the Lord. It's the Lord, but you had to do your part, you know. I mean, he took the time and went open that bag. If that wouldn't happen, I wouldn't have my keys. What's your point? My point is, in order to get to a key, sometimes you're going to have to go through some stuff. Lots of stuff and junk to get that key working and to get it to doing what it's supposed to do in your life. Does that make sense? I know that's a different way to bring it, but I think it works. And man, I'll tell you what, me and keys sometimes. But I want the keys to the kingdom, right? All right, today we're going to talk about commitment. Oh, that's just a word we all love, isn't it? Just say, I love commitment. Go with me to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. And we're going to look at verse 3 through 5. Verse 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this place. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to gather here. We thank you, Father, for all that you're showing us. Lord, we just ask that you continue to give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of these keys and principles that bring heaven to earth. Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we just ask that you continue to speak to us by your Spirit and that we would hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Lord, that we will never be the same because we're growing and we're getting revelation knowledge of these keys. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you forever. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Now, Who was here on Christmas Eve? So remember we talked about Christmas Eve? We talked about how shall you escape? Because it talks about in Hebrews 2, verse 2. How shall you escape so great a salvation if you neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? What's the word salvation mean? The word salvation means what? Huh? It means peace. It means freedom. It means security. You see, if you don't pay attention, if you neglect, remember what's the word neglect? It means to avoid, to pay no attention to. If you neglect your salvation, you're not going to escape not having peace. You're going to have confusion. You're not going to escape not having security. You're going to have insecurity. You see that? So that's important that we understand that. Salvation, when we neglect our salvation, we miss out on all what God has for us. I've seen people come to the church and get saved, and then they begin to neglect their salvation, and their lives go back to where they were, and they never experience all that God has for them. Because it says in Hebrews 6:9, better things accompany salvation. Better things accompany salvation. Better things accompany salvation. So it's important that we do not neglect our salvation. Are you with me? David said in Psalm 62, verse 2, he said, he only is my rock and my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. David understood commitment. David understood commitment. I got a little example for you here today. Have you seen this? I know. It's all good. You see, the pebbles represent things that are urgent and are not vital. But now this represents, the rock represents what's vital. Vital means necessary to manage and maintain life. You see, if you don't pay attention to the things that are vital, then things die. And so this rock, this big rock, would represent the Lord. See, David said, what did he say? The Lord only is my rock and my salvation. So, see how it doesn't even fit in. If we're not committed to the Lord, and we don't, we'll end up, and he won't be fitting in our schedule. He won't fit in our life. We allow all the other things to keep him out. Am I making sense? Now, I don't want this table to flop over on me. Okay. What dust. Now, there's one stuck in the bottom, but that doesn't matter. I put him in first. See that big rock? See how that all fits in there nice? All around the big rock. See, doesn't that make sense? See, what happens is when there are things in our life that are big rocks, and we need to pay attention to the big rocks. And God is the biggest rock, right? And when we will put him first, everything else fits into our life. And that big rock represents being committed to God. If you're committed to him, he's gonna make room for everything else that's really important to you in life if you keep him first. Make sense? So you want to make him your biggest rock, but there are other big rocks. Your family, your marriage. If you're not committed to your marriage, your spouse, right? What's going to happen? Your marriage is going to suffer. If you're not committed to your family, if you're not committed to your job. See, those are pretty big rocks. They're not the big rock, but they're big rocks. We need to get those big rocks in our schedule, don't we? If you're not committed to your children and having time with them, going to their sport events, picking them up. You know, I remember when I was young and I'd work overtime and I'd be stressed out and I'd feel like I don't want to go to my son's game today, but I'd really wear myself out and say, no, that's too important to miss. And I would go all, but I would still go, and I would really work at enjoying myself. It took time, but I would work at it because I knew the importance of it. Does it make sense? Because you know what, folks? If we don't pay attention to those big rocks in our life, if you don't pay attention to your children, you know what? If you keep just not paying attention to those children, you know what happens? Somebody else will. And you know what? They can end up on drugs or whatever. Because you've allowed everything else to get in that way of that rock. But when you put God first, he shows you what's important. He'll let you see. He'll let you see that, and we have to be committed. Does that make sense? go with me. Look here. It says in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, most of you, if you're paying a mortgage, you know, it's not an option to pay your mortgage. It's not an option. That decision is made. You've got that in the budget, and no matter what, that check gets written every month. Because if you don't pay that, you're looking at if eviction or foreclosure and not having a place to stay, right? That's a big rock. You see that? You see, and if we don't pay attention to the big rocks in our life, if you don't pay attention to that, it's going to affect your vision, your dreams, your values, and what really you deem as important in your life that you're not telling everybody about. But you see other people having it, and you long for it, and you want it, but you're not paying attention to the big rocks. You're giving too much attention to all these little things that really don't have any significance long term. Am I communicating today? This is important because commitment is about priority. Commitment is all about priority. Now watch this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit, you know what it means? In the Hebrew language, it means Golgotha. Golgotha. What's Golgotha? Golgotha is where Jesus was crucified. That's the hill that Jesus was crucified on. The word commit means Golgotha. So really, what's the message there? What you're committed to, you should be willing to die for. You see that? What you're committed to, you should be willing to die for. That's the message. That's the etymology of that word. You like that word, etymology? I like that word. Etymology, etomo, means true. Amology, logo, amology means word, logo. So you put those together, it's the true word. The true word and where it came from. You see that? So when we're really committed, the etymology of it is you're willing to die for what you're committed to. I like that. Folks, nothing good comes without commitment. Nothing good comes without commitment. Nothing effective will last without a commitment. Nothing effective will last without commitment. God keeps his covenant for over 1,000 generations. God keeps his covenant for over 1,000 generations. That's, you know, because he understands commitment. He is committed to you. He is committed to you. Commitment. What words are connected with commitment? Loyalty, faithfulness, sacrifice, focus, trust. They're all connected to that word, commitment. And when we're committed, those things show up in our life. When you're not committed, you won't experience the fruit and the products of commitment in your life. But when you're committed, that's why he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. See, God will bring what to pass? Back to verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord also, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The word delight means what you love. When you really love God, He's going to make sure the true desires, the deepest desires in you, are going to come to pass because of commitment. See that? That's what he's going to bring. What's really important, what puts you, the salvation. That's why David said, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Salvation means what? Sozo, to be made whole from many scattered parts. He will put your life together when you're committed to him and his ways. You see that? Come on, do you see it? He will put your life together. He will make you whole. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Why? Humpty didn't know Jesus. He didn't have salvation, sozo, right? Because if he did, the whole nursery rhyme would have changed. I had to get you off there for a minute. You all looking too serious. When you are committed, God will put your life together. Without commitment, you allow too many other things to clamor for your attention. But when you're committed, things happen. You see, this church is growing and flourishing. You know why? Because there are committed people in this church. There are people in this church that are committed. And as I was praying this week, I was thanking God for the people who are committed in this church. If there weren't people who are committed in this church, you probably wouldn't be sitting here this morning. But there are people committed in this church. And when we come together and we are committed, it changes the atmosphere. Somebody, you know, people are hurting. People are hurting. People just can't get to the other side on their own. People are really hurting. But when they bump into commitment, it can bring wholeness and health and life and help them to get and to really realize their potential. But they have to bump into commitment, and they have to get into an area where there is a committed people. Am I making sense? And that's what the church is. It's a church, a place where people are committed. Committed to God, committed to the house of God, and committed to each other. Come on now, am I making sense? That's why we got people coming here that were into alcohol, got hung on up, strung out on alcohol or drugs, and their lives are changing. Because there's committed people here that will help them and be there for them. Are you with me? That's why we got people who come here, don't have an education, don't even have a GED. They get their GED and then they go to college. Because they ran into somebody who was committed. They bumped into a group of people who are committed to help them and get them to the place in their life. Am I making sense? And folks, that's what the church is. We are a plenipotentiary people. You like that word? Plenipotentiary. Say that. You're just plenipotentiary. Say that to your neighbor. I like that word. You know what it means? You know, I'm not trying to impress you or, you know, speak above your head. I'm trying to show you something. You know what plenipotentiary means? This is what it means. Ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5 says we're ambassadors. We are. Philippians 3 says we are citizens of heaven. Plenipotentiary means an ambassador or minister authorized to represent his or her government, the kingdom of God. See, that's what we are. We're plenipotentiaries. I like that. You know, we are authorized to establish the kingdom of God here on earth so others can come in and begin to experience the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When someone bumps into a group of people that are establishing the kingdom of God and are committed, folks, their lives are going to change. It's inevitable. Their life will change. And that will help them get to where they need to go. But without commitment, it won't happen. It won't happen. Are we making sense? We're going to have to be committed. If we are going to bring it to pass, if we're going to see our destiny realized, if we're going to see all that God created us for, we are going to have to be committed. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, it says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and He will establish your thoughts." Commit your works to the Lord, and He will establish your thoughts. You see, when you commit your works to the Lord, He establishes your thinking. Now think about this. Commit. Golgotha. I'm willing to die for what I'm doing. Because of the weight of it, the value of it. So, you know what? Your job is part of your commitment. If you all are going to your job and you hate it, stop it. Don't wake up speaking negative about going to your job. God has given you that place to provide for you and your family or whoever else in your life. Stop talking negative about your job and your boss and whoever you're going in to work with. Begin to see that as God has entrusted me with this place and has given me this place, and I'm thankful for this place to go to so I can provide for my family. You know what? When you start doing that, that key of commitment is going to change your job. You see that? You'll either get promoted or you'll get a better job. Because now you got the right attitude. But if you go in and you're negative and you're speaking negative about your job and, I got to go in there again. You know what? You're not going to get any promotion. You're going to stay on that dead-end job and whatever for the rest of your life. Because you don't understand commitment. He says He will establish your thoughts. That word establish means, in the Hebrew language, dynasty. Dynasty. And dynasty means something to be, a memorial to be remembered. In other words, He will make your life something that your grandchildren, they're going to talk about Grandpa. They're going to talk about Grandma because Grandma and Grandpa were committed. Are you with me? They won't ever forget because they were committed. Am I making sense? Come on now, don't you want that in your life? I mean, what's important? You know, I've looked at what is important in as I was reflecting this week. You know, what's important in life? I can't think of anything more important than what we're doing here. Advancing His kingdom. People need direction in life. And when there's committed people, folks, we get direction. That vision on the wall will never come to fruition without commitment. Never. But when we're committed and you begin to see other people experience it, we helped 14 families with Christmas that would not have had a Christmas this year. You guys were committed this year. You guys were committed in your giving. You gave $8,000. In that offering. That takes commitment. See, without commitment, those kids would maybe not have had a Christmas at all. Doesn't that make sense? Folks, listen to me. Commitment will get you there. Without being committed, you allow other things to take your time, your energy, and your money. Tithing. Tithing is commitment. Tithing, when you are committed to God and you're putting God first, you're going to tithe. That's a no-brainer. I don't even think about it. I just write my check out. It's just done because I know if I don't do it, my vision and what's important to me, I risk foreclosure and eviction on what's really important to me and what I value and deem important in my life. Because folks, listen to me. He says that He will open the windows of heaven. He said He will open the windows of heaven. He said, try me in this. Nowhere else does He say, try me. nowhere else in the Bible. But he says, you try me in this. Try me. I'll prove it to you. I think that's big. You know, I'm not here to give a message on tithing. But you're going to get one soon. I'm here to tell you. And that's all right. Because, so, folks, we need to understand this. And when we understand it, he begins to put those things in place in our life. Doesn't that make sense? You can't do it without commitment. You know what? And another thing is drudgery. You know, we got to avoid drudgery. You know, I see people will be committed, and then slowly their commitment starts to wane. It starts to wane. And they start looking at all the, you know, oh, I got to go to that meeting again tonight. I got to go to the Bible studies tonight, and I got to, you know, and they start complaining about things they have to do, and then they start clamoring the attention for the church for time with their family, and they wane. But you know what? If you put the big rock in first, he'll give you time for your family. He'll give you time. He'll put your finances in order. He'll put everything else in order. You see what I mean? Commitment and drudgery. You know, I can't stand to have to think, well, I have to do this. I don't like that. I just can't. You know what? I gave some gifts to some people this year, and they said, you didn't have to do that. I know I didn't have to. If I had to, I probably wouldn't have wanted to. Right? I don't like to do things I have to do. And neither do you. But see, stay away from that in your walk with God. Because when you're committed, a loveless commitment, when there's no real love for God in it, and you're not excited about it, it's like drudgery. But if you really love God, and you love God's people, and you love the kingdom of God, man, you're I can't wait to get there today. I couldn't wait to come this morning. Last night, I got other pastors say, "What do you got a Saturday night service, man? You need a break." I love it. Are you with me? Does that make sense? When you love God, it's your commitment changes. And then it starts to change people. People are changed because you're committed. Oh, do you see this? Huh? Am I making sense today? All right. Credibility, a sense of belonging, success only comes from commitment. The people that you value, the people that you see as people that you would like to be like, and the people that you really, really, really have some trust in, they have commitment in their life. The people that you really, man, just in your mind, you don't even tell nobody about them, but you just, they're special to you. You investigate their life, and they're committed. They're a committed person. Come on, am I making sense? Commitment gets things done. If we're not committed, it's not going to happen. David said he had a zeal for God's house. Folks, we need to be excited to come here. You know, just to be a part of what God is doing. This is exciting, isn't it? I mean, this church is growing. That's exciting. Church, little old churches aren't growing. But this church is growing not because of a preacher or somebody who leads worship or a teacher. No, this church is growing because there's committed people here. That's the reason. And people are going to get help here because people are committed. I'm stirring up y'all's commitment. I want you to understand the weight of commitment. Because he says he will bring it to pass. What? What you really, really long for in the depths of your heart and your soul. He'll bring it to pass if you commit your way to the Lord. All right. Don't draw back, because when we draw back, our commitment starts to wane. You know, whatever you have to do, just say, this big rock is priority in my life. This is the big rock. I've got to get with God's people. I've got to have my time with God in the morning. I've got to get to the house of God. I got to be with the people, right? That's a big rock. If not, you'll allow everything else to take what's really important. And your life will, you'll look back on your life, you're 70, 80 years old. What have you accomplished? What's really important in your life? You know what? Exercise is a big rock. It is. I'm just here to tell you. You know, do something. Right? I'm just trying to stir you up. How about what? Make it faster, huh? All right. We need to sow ourselves into the place that we're committed. We need to sow ourselves there. And we will reap a harvest of God's goodness, and we will dwell in the land that He has for us. You will dwell in the land when you feed on His faithfulness. You see that? This economic crisis is nothing what it is being portrayed on the news and what everybody's talking about. It's not near as bad as what people are saying. They're equating it to the Great Depression, where we had 26% unemployment rate. And they're equating it to the recession we had in 80, and the unemployment rate was 10.8% nationally, nationwide. Nationwide now, the unemployment rate is only 6.8%. It's not near as bad. But people are talking. Why? Because it promotes fear and it sells things. It sells things. You know what? If you're committed, you're going to dwell in the land. You're going to be taken care of, because that's a key to the kingdom of God. Right? Doesn't this make sense? That's a key. We are going to take communion this morning. And those who are helping me, could you come forward? And when we take communion, we always like to examine ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. And if there's, you know, we always, you all, most of you know that, you know, if there's sin in your life, you can repent in your seat and ask for God's forgiveness, and you're good to go. But we're going to say a prayer as a body. I want to pray for the body this morning before you come to the Lord's table, okay? Father, we just thank You for Your presence here today. Father, we thank You for Your commitment in sending Jesus, who was committed and has made it possible for us all to have rest in our souls. You said, come to Me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, and you will find rest for your souls. Father, we thank You for Your commitment. Lord, I thank You for everyone in this church that's committed. I thank You for every person that's here this morning. Now, Lord, I just speak life over everyone here today. I speak life. I speak honor. I speak blessing. I speak joy to those who've been depressed. I speak joy right now. Release Your joy, Lord. Lord, I speak peace over everyone here today. I speak peace over them. Father, I speak grace. Your grace the grace of God will just engulf your mind and your soul, Lord. I speak grace over everyone here today, Lord. I speak mercy, Lord. Oh, your mercies are new every morning. I speak mercy over everyone here today, Lord. And in this new year, Lord, I speak favor. Favor. I speak favor on everyone who's in this room right now, that they are going to walk in the favor of God because of commitment. I speak prosperity. I pray that they will prosper. Everyone in this room is going to prosper. Increase is going to come. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in the church, in your people. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you again for your commitment. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we trust you forever. Amen. And amen. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf, he broke it, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." I always like to bring up that this is a celebration supper. This is a celebration. And he said, on the night he was betrayed, celebrate. You cannot celebrate when betrayal comes your way if you're not committed. The reason Jesus could celebrate is because he was committed. You see that? The reason he said, "Let's throw a party," that's paraphrasing, but that's basically what he's saying, is because he was committed. You know what? It's the same way with you. And people, we're all going to be betrayed in this life. So if we're committed, we can celebrate. And that's a reality. On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." As the Holy Spirit leads you, you come. We got Bob and Peggy here on the right. We believe in prayer. We believe in physical healing, emotional healing. Folks, there's healing in the house. There's healing in the house. You come as the Holy Spirit leads you. Lloyd and I are going to be here on the left. If you need special prayer, you come as the Holy Spirit leads you.